Well, there was big news coming last night, courtesy of our Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen. Former MVP Cam Newton is a free agent no more. Instead, Newton is heading to New England to join forces with Bill Belichick and follow in the footsteps of another MVP, Tom Brady. In Cam Newton's cryptic fashion, he had this to say via Instagram, "I'm excited because I know what right now. All praise to God, dropping content tomorrow. I hope you're ready. Hashtag, let's go Pats." And so now we know, and we'll start with Adam Schefter and our Hall of Famer, Steve Young. Number one, Adam, just tell us how we got here. How did this deal get done?
Listen, I think it took Cam Newton a little bit of time to recognize that there was not a $30-plus million a year job on the market when you released 2 weeks into the free agent signing period. Not only that, there's not an obvious starting job that's out there. And so the longer this went on and the less he heard from teams, and there really was nobody that he heard from, the more he recognized that he had to find the right spot. And if you're going to find the right spot, there's nothing wrong with picking New England, where you get to work with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and the new quarterbacks coach, Jed Fish, in an offense that obviously is going to be trying to replace Tom Brady, where you're competing with a guy like Jarrett Stidham, who hasn't proven that he can play yet in the NFL. And so Cam Newton goes to New England on a one-year deal where he gets to reestablish his value, show that he's healthy and over the shoulder and foot injuries that he has been dealing with the last 2 years. And this is the place that he now tries to relaunch his NFL career at the age of 31, which should be, for most quarterbacks, the prime of their career.
No question. And Adam, how likely is it that this is, in effect, a one-year audition for Cam to be with the Patriots beyond this season?
Wendy, what I would say is this. If Cam Newton goes out and plays well, the Patriots obviously would be interested in re-signing him. And if not, they have the ability to move on from him. It depends on how the year goes. It's difficult to forecast that right now. All we know is that the Patriots signed a former most valuable player who won that award in 2015, who has tremendous ability, who goes into this offense. And now we'll have to learn it, which is not going to be an easy task in a shortened off season for him, but has the ability to be a dominant quarterback if he can pick up that system. And if he plays that way, you would think that New England would not let him out the door. But again, there's a whole year. They want to see Newton. They want to see Stidham. They want to see how the year goes. So it's too early to say that just yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot can happen in a year. We've all seen that. And Steve, how do you like the fit between Cam Newton and what he brings on the field and the New England Patriots?
Wendy, a healthy, you know, rested Cam Newton. I mean, it's like this, you know, manna from heaven, right? I mean, in many ways, I think about Josh McDaniel and Bill Belichick sitting around a lot of times, you know, saying, could you imagine what we could do with this guy or that guy as they play, you know, these players around the league? And they see them in places where I'm sure they say, because they're supreme confidence, not hubris, just supreme confidence that if we could get a hold of him, what we could do with him, and we could really expend on what you're seeing, you know, around the league, what we can do is special. And so I'm sure they're saying this about if Cam comes and his foot is okay, because we know the arm is all right, because we saw that early last year before he hurt his foot. So we know that he's healthy. If his foot is good and he can move, you've got a hungry, sophisticated, MVP type caliber player in New England, where you have Bill and Josh saying, well, you can't imagine what we're going to do with this kid. And so I think that's the conversation that's happening right now in New England.
Steve, look, it's anybody's guess at this point, but you have an opinion, a very qualified one. What do you believe the likelihood is that Cam Newton is the Patriots' starting quarterback week one?
Again, if healthy, if he can move around, I can't imagine them with his talent level and what they think they can do with him. Again, it becomes, it's a proof point for what they're out to show. They're out to show that we can do special things with special players. And so it becomes a rite of passage to be in New England, and that we can take somebody and we can show you amazing things that can be done. And they've done that with player after player after player. So with Cam Newton and he's healthy and can move around, it's like a gravitational force, Wendy. It's too special to be able to show what they can do with a great Cam Newton.
Yeah, there's no question. That'll be a lot of fun to watch no matter what happens. Adam, Steve, stick around. We will talk more about Cam in just a minute, but there was also this. The NFL finally decided what's to come of the Patriots. They take a $1.1 million and a third-round draft pick away from New England in the 2021 draft. This is because of the punishment for their television crews filming the field and sideline. This was December 8th between the Bengals and Cleveland Browns. And in addition, the Patriots television production crews will no longer be allowed to shoot any games, at least not for the upcoming season. It's the third time Belichick and the Patriots have been handed a hefty punishment from the league in 07. They were punished for spying on an opponent's defensive signals. Then came Deflategate in 2015. And now from last season's incident, another $1 million fine. We will turn now to our intrepid ESPN Patriots reporter, Mike Reese. And Mike, what more can you tell us about how these punishments were handed down and how the ultimate decision was made?
Well, Wendy, what I can tell you is that the Patriots, a team spokesman, tells me that the team is not going to contest these penalties. But that doesn't mean that really anyone in the organization views them as lenient. If anything, they view them as very harsh. It was notable that Bill Belichick wasn't specifically part of these penalties. He wasn't fined like he was back in 2007. You can deduce from that that the NFL actually buys the Patriots' explanation that this was a case of someone from the team's TV production crew, which is separate from Belichick, that made a mistake. But clearly, the NFL taking the team's past history into account with these penalties.
It does appear that's what happened. And what would you say? Look, there's always conspiracy theorists among us, but there a little bit of curious timing. Of course, the day the Cam Newton deal was announced, the same day we hear about these penalties. Any correlation at all?
Well, I can understand why someone might have that skepticism, Wendy, but from my view, it's actually sort of two trains on separate tracks that just coincidentally arrive at the station at the same time. I mean, these penalties are really determined more by the NFL. And if you go back to the timeline, it's actually interesting that they just came out now. I mean, this happened back in December. And I can tell you from being around the Patriots, this is something they were hoping to have wrapped up like before the playoffs back in January. And here we are, you know, 6-7 months later. So to me, it's actually more about the NFL's timeline than any conspiracy theory.
All right, Mike, thank you. You'll have plenty to talk about in the next few weeks in New England. We're joined now by Tim Hasselbeck, Field Yates, and Mike Tannenbaum. And Tim, first, I feel like we may need to tip our hat. If I'm not mistaken, you thought this was a possibility all along. And with that, I'm talking about Cam Newton.
Well, appreciate the tip of the
yes,
cap. I just
unlikely.
Felt like it made way too much sense. Yeah, I don't think it made too much sense. I mean, let's just face it. When you look around at teams that maybe have a second-year starting quarterback, you're looking at teams like the Denver Broncos, but they kind of like Drew Lock. You look at, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they move on from Nick Foles, and it looks like Gardner Minshew is going to be the guy. But he played fairly well, and you got a chance to have a guy on a rookie deal as your starting quarterback. And then you look at the Patriots. Look, they find themselves with Jared Stidham, who is a late fourth-round draft pick, because Tom Brady wanted to go somewhere else. And so when you looked at landing spots for Cam Newton, it was like, okay, well, that makes sense for Cam. Like, how great would that be for Cam to go to the New England Patriots? Then from the Patriots' perspective, you know, Steve described it as manna from heaven. I mean, the reality is guys like Cam don't typically come along and end up being available at the quarterback position. So it just made too much sense for this not to happen. You know, you were asking about, you know, should we expect him to be the week one starter? Steve referenced him being healthy. Let's just presume he's healthy. If that's the case, he's the week one starter. I think he has a chance to have a great season and really make New England a team that maybe people were writing off, that now they have to consider him as maybe a Super Bowl contending type team if Cam Newton is going to play as well as he played in that 2018 season before injuring his shoulder.
That's quite a swing, but you're right. I mean, it certainly changes things in a lot of ways. Field, listen, some interesting reactions from those inside the Patriot organization.
That's right, Wendy. Now, maybe Shefty and Mort had this on their radar, and maybe Tim's been calling it since like Valentine's Day of Cam Newton going to the Patriots. But not long after Shefty's initial tweet, I had multiple people from the Patriots organization text me and say, did we really just sign Cam Newton? Not that there's any reason to doubt Adam Schefter, but there is sort of an out of left field quality to this signing, because if you think about it, Cam's been available for over 3 months now. The Patriots need or desire to add a veteran quarterback has been available since the moment Tom Brady announced he was signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the fact that it takes place on June 28th, an otherwise quiet Sunday night prior to the Cam Newton and also the, I guess, the Spygate 2.0, whatever we're calling it, news. This one certainly came out of nowhere to a lot of people, surprise to a lot of people, but it did invigorate a lot of people within the Patriots organization. There's no two ways about this. Cam Newton is one of the most dynamic and talented quarterbacks that we have seen over the past decade. You can bet there are a lot of people that are looking forward to having him on their team within the Patriots, and a lot of players that are looking forward to competing against him on a day-to-day basis because of the reverence they've long held for Cam.
Mike, listen, it's not the same thing, and we acknowledge that. But Josh McDaniels has done this before, and by that I mean move on from Tom Brady. He did it briefly in Denver with some success. So it's not his first time trying to break in a new quarterback in a new offense.
That's right. When you go back to 2010, Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Denver Broncos. They draft Tim Tebow in the first round. That offense wasn't perfect by any stretch, but they did have some success. Tim Tebow did win a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when we look at the 2020 New England Patriot offense now, I think we're going to see some elements of that. I think we could go back to 2018 and Norv Turner with the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton in the first eight games had 19 touchdowns and only four turnovers. He was playing really well before he got hurt. I think this offense becomes more diverse. It becomes hard to defend. And instantly, I think the New England Patriots are the AFC East favorites by a good amount of stretch, by a wide margin. And it goes back to what Josh has done in the past with this sort of offense. And this offense becomes a lot more diverse than it would be under Jared Stidham.
Mike, thank you. Listen, not everybody as happy with this deal. Richard Sherman among those. When he heard about Cam's reported incentive-based contract, he did respond via Twitter and said, "How many former league MVPs have had to sign for the men? That's the minimum, the league minimum. Asking for a friend," he said, "just ridiculous. The transcendent talent and less talented quarterbacks are getting $15 to $16 million a year. Disgusting." Mike, what would be your response to Richard Sherman's take on this deal?
Wendy, I have firsthand experience. 1998, Bill Belichick's the defensive coordinator of the New York Jets. We signed former first-round number one pick overall, Vinny Testaverde, former Heisman Trophy winner. Inexplicably, he's on the streets. He comes in, one-year deal, close to the minimum. Glenn Foley starts the first two games. Testaverde goes in, plays great, takes us to the AFC Championship game. He's richly rewarded. So if I'm Cam Newton, the word I'm using is I'm investing. I'm investing in my future with Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels. I'm signing a one-year deal. The number is almost irrelevant what it is this year because what it could set him up for in the future. And the other more recent example would be Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill gets traded to Tennessee last year, takes a really big pay cut, starts off as the backup to Marcus Mariota, takes Tennessee to the AFC Championship game. Now he's making $30 million a year. So Richard Sherman's tweet, while understandable, if it's within a context of a longer narrative, I understand what Cam Newton did, and there's two examples of why this could pay off for him.
Well, I'll kind of take it a step further. Everything Mike just said is absolutely accurate. I'll be less delicate. Richard Sherman's a really smart guy. That's a dumb tweet. It doesn't make any sense. The guy's missed 16 games over the past two seasons. Like, when you're not available to play and you've been injured, he's had three surgeries in the last 3 years. That's what's going to happen, like, especially in this current situation. So if you've missed that much time after a decade of football and you're coming off of multiple surgeries, you're going to have to do what Mike is saying in investing in your own future and betting on yourself on a one-year deal. So this idea that like the entire league spoke in terms of how they felt about Cam Newton's health and maybe where he may be, which is why he signed the deal that he signed. Schefter, you know, talked about it as well. Basically, one offer from one team. So, look, that's why guys like Marcus Mariota or other quarterbacks that have accomplished less were getting much better deals, quote unquote, when you looked at them this offseason.
I think a couple things to note here as well is that Cam knew what he wanted to be the moment he was released by the Carolina Panthers. That was a starter again. And other teams are evaluating what Cam's viability is to be a starter, are saying, Well, can we offer him a multi-year deal that has significant upside given the health concerns over the past couple of years and the fact that you really can't give him a physical because of all the COVID limitations? But beyond that, we saw other players that knew for a fact they were the backup quarterbacks, the Case Keenums of the world, who get 3 years and $18 million. Chase Daniel getting a lucrative deal from the Detroit Lions. Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton, all guys that kind of were in that gray area between wanting to be a starter, not having much in the way of a starting market, and that's why their values are so suppressed. Guys who are all making a lot less money than anybody would have guessed if we were to have this conversation a year ago at this time.
All right, certainly a lot to unpack with regards to that. We will circle back, so stay with us. On Tuesday, ESPN Films presents Blackfeet Boxing Not Invisible, the story of a boxing club on the Blackfeet Nation Reservation in Montana that teaches young women boxing and self-defense. And a frightening statistic, in the past 2 years, more than 100 indigenous women and girls have been missing or murdered, their status unknown in Montana. And this club is saving lives. Tomorrow night at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. July is just around the corner, quite literally, and so we are only 30 days away from the first teams breaking camp for the season. Camps, as we stand right now, expected to open as scheduled on July 28th. Late this morning, though, Texans wide receiver Randall Cobb tweeted at the NFL and the NFLPA, "Can we have an update on training camp procedures, testing, etc.? We're 4 weeks from the assumed start of camp, and it would be nice to have adequate info before I attempt to move my family across the country during a pandemic." Meanwhile, the executive director of the NFLPA, DeMarre Smith, is less than thrilled to see his players carrying on with workouts, at least physically, despite a union advisory sent out last week asking them to cut it out. During an interview, he was specifically asked about several media posts, social media posts, from Tom Brady and Russell Wilson.
Those practices are not in the best interest of player safety. They're not in the best interest of protecting our players heading into training camp. And I don't think they are in the best interest of us getting through an entire season. We are in the process of trying to negotiate. We have to negotiate with the league about what happens to a player if they test positive, you know, during the season. All of the things that players may want to do during the offseason have a direct impact on how well we can negotiate protections for them once the season starts.
Well, we'll start with Adam Schefter back with us. And Adam, truly a tricky spot here for the NFLPA.
Well, Wendy, the conversations have begun between the NFL and the NFLPA as to what to do with a player who gets the virus during the season. The NFL and the NFLPA have to figure out, is he placed on injured reserve? What is done with his salary? There are procedures that they have to go through, and those procedures have to be in place with what they're going to do with those players before teams start reporting to training camp. And most teams are scheduled to report July 28th. So we are essentially under a month until a lot of these decisions have to be made. And I think they'll be made well before the training camp report date, but there's a lot of money at stake. It's a big business, and both sides have to treat it that way going forward, which is why you heard D. Smith sound off the way that he did over the weekend.
And part of the problem with these workouts and the players specifically involved is that Tom Brady and Russell Wilson have reached the mountaintop of the NFL in large part because of not just their own natural God-given gifts, but also their ability to want to be better every single day and this insatiable desire to train repeatedly. At the same time, if Tom Brady and Russell Wilson continue to do these workouts and have them be available on video via social media or otherwise, the message is being sent to every other NFL player around the league: A, you better find a way to keep up. And B, it's almost like, hey, if we can do it, so can you. Because no other NFL player is going to say to themselves, well, hey, Tom and Russ are doing it, so I can't do it. They're going to be saying, if those guys are doing it, it is imperative and incumbent upon me to be doing these workouts with teammates to get ready for the NFL season. I get the double-edged sword for Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, but as D explained, as Adam just mentioned, this is about looking at the bigger picture and spinning things forward months ahead when we are in the throes of a season and dealing with the very real issues that COVID-19 presents.
Well, one of the things you can do to help fix that problem is you don't need to hire production crews to video you working out so you can post it on social media. Your workout still is effective if you don't post it. Believe it or not, you can lift weights, not post it, and it still has the same effect on your body. Look, here's what I would say in terms of what D'Amore Smith is saying, and I think is really critical, is that when you have these players openly, because they're promoting it themselves, you know, paying for teammates to fly to their location, to go work out at a local high school, in many instances, kind of disobeying the local, guidelines in terms of dealing, with the COVID-19 virus. Basically, what you're doing is you're weakening the union's position when they're negotiating with the league about kind of the safety protocols in place for the players when they return to the team's facility. Like what leg do you have to stand on as a union when you're talking to the league saying, no, you know, our players aren't comfortable with that type of cleaning or testing or that much testing going on, or you know, basically that's how you're going to take care of a player and everyone else around them when a player tests positive. Like, what leg do you have to stand on when your players are spending their own money to go work out at local high schools that don't have any of those protocols in place? Like, I think that's really what D'Amore Smith is talking about. His star players are basically weakening the union's position on how to keep things safe for players when they return to facilities.
Well, said differently, he's weakening their leverage, and there's no question that's right, Mike. But that's the player side of things. There is also a difficult spot here for teams as they look to reopen and try and figure out how to handle all of this and all the necessary protocols.
Yeah, there is a real balancing act here just in terms of you have to be very mindful of what's going on with the pandemic. You want your players working out to be candid, to be ready to go. So there is a balancing act in terms of what they're doing outside the facility, Wendy. And then moving forward and talking to a number of teams, I'm hearing a lot of creative ideas in terms of maybe split squad, offense and defense, where maybe you have 40, 45 guys in the building. Then they leave. They do meetings virtually. The other group comes in and works out. So there's a lot of things that are still up in the air. You know, Adam alluded to the fact that they want to get these things worked out sooner rather than later. But candidly, I think the league's going to learn a lot from MLB returning, the NBA returning. And I do think the NFL can benefit from having a little bit more time to see what other bumps in the road these sports have when they return.
There's no question. I think it pays in this case not to be the first league to return. Mike, that's a fair point also. Again, this is a fluid situation we'll continue to watch. We'll take a look at Cam Newton's injury history. He was relatively durable until a few seasons ago, and then between 2019 and 18, he's missed 16 games, a combined foot and shoulder injuries that did leave some question marks, and likely Stefania Bell, as we say hello, led to this one-year deal with New England. So two big questions. We've got the shoulder and the foot. Where do they stand?
Well, Wendy, last year I was at camp when Cam was coming off the shoulder injury, and he was making 50, 60, 70 throws in practice. There were no concerns by the Panthers as far as how healthy his shoulder was. It was really when he suffered that foot injury in the preseason that was the problem. His left foot, it was a stable midfoot injury, which is why they thought it would get better with time. But he never had the confidence to land on it when he was transferring his weight. He just had this apprehension and discomfort in his foot. That's what led to the procedure late in the year, but it was a modified Lisfranc procedure. So understand that while this typically, in a full-blown Lisfranc injury with instability, a fracture, that might take 6 months to recover, he was able to recover in about half the time. And if you've seen any of the Instagram workouts he's been posting, he is quite well recovered from the foot, doing stadiums, agility drills. As far as his health, I think right now, going into the season, he's 100%.
All right, Stefania. So then, if that's the case, my next question, I believe you answered. Would you have any concerns from an injury standpoint moving forward?
Well, Wendy, this is tricky because Cam Newton doesn't play the role of quarterback like a lot of other guys do. You saw in that essay by Trey, he's taken a lot of physical hits. His shoulder injury was not an overuse injury like you typically see in throwers. He originally injured it when he was trying to tackle someone who intercepted him. And then he continued to get injuries when he would try and score. You know, Cam was a goal line scorer. He'd extend that arm and land on it. So if he plays that physical style, that's the big question, is can his body now, 10 years later in the league, hold up to that kind of constant physical assault? That's the part that remains to be seen.
Well, listen, there's an easy solution. Just don't throw any interceptions, and that won't happen again. So we can fix that. Adam Schefter is back with us. And, Adam, listen, they couldn't have had too many injury concerns or they wouldn't have made this decision. But what was New England's level of comfort with where Cam is from an injury standpoint?
Well, when he'd had to be comfortable enough to enter into a one-year agreement with him, keep in mind that Cam Newton still has not taken a physical for the New England Patriots, and we don't know when he'll be taking that physical until players are allowed to take them for teams later next month. Again, no sign of when that'll be, but it hasn't happened yet. Keep in mind the last physical that Cam Newton took was back in March after or as the Panthers were releasing him. He went to an independent facility in Atlanta and is said to have cleared and passed that physical at that point in time. But teams still would have liked to have gotten their own physicals on him with their own doctors. They were unable to do that. Now the Patriots have entered into the agreement without a physical that he's passed with their doctors for them, but they have enough faith in him and his recovery and the process. And you heard Stefania say that she thinks he's 100% at this point in time. Sounds like New England is on board with that and is waiting to get him into their facility next month to be able to give him the physical to make that full determination.
All right, Steve Young, one of the questions we just asked, having known what Cam has done in the past, what can he do in the future? And that's a factor of how healthy he stays. What do you think?
Well, Wendy, if he's healthy, I mean, that's the big, everyone's going to ask, if, let's just, he's healthy. He's Cam Newton. Up until I was 38 years old when I retired, you can move around. You can be the dynamic player. You get smarter. You watch your way a little bit more. You're not going to jump and leap and do crazy stuff. Now, I know Cam's done that in the past, but it's to be a dynamic football player well into your 30s is not hard. Cam can do that as long as he's healthy. So, I mean, quit saying it. We're going to assume that he's healthy. He can do this. And the game has come to Cam, as it would be for all of us. I dream of playing quarterback today. I'm going to say that it's easier because of rules and because of safety. You can't patrol the middle of the field. And the way that they're dynamically going after defenses, look what San Francisco's doing. Look what happens in New Orleans. Pretty, you know, not overly dynamic quarterbacks, but they make the job of quarterbacking much, much easier. So Cam, in many ways, goes to New England. He's the offense. The game has come to him. They need to make sure that he stays dynamic. I don't believe Cam's one of those guys that just sits in the pocket and can be really super successful. He needs to get out and threaten. Once he threatens, loosens everything up, and then all of a sudden Cam becomes the MVP. I don't think it's too far to say that he can become the MVP again. There's no reason to think that he can't. I know there's questions about what Trey said about third down. That's all the stuff that the New England Patriot court, you know, with Josh and with Bill, they'll say, hey, you know what? We can make all of that go away. We can guarantee all that stuff. We're smart enough. We have the ultimate confidence. We can make Cam Newton great again. And then there's no question that Cam feels that way about himself. So I know it's a 1 year. They're going to test each other, see all this doubt. To me, Cam Newton's healthy. It's game on.
All right, listen, if you think he can be an MVP, which is saying something, again, I should say, because he's certainly done that, the Patriots have won 11 straight division titles. Is he the difference? Can he be the key cog in helping them win 12 in a row in the AFC East?
That was the AFC East last night was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. they'd put these guys away. Now it was Miami, it was Buffalo, and you know, we're gonna make this happen. Even the Jets are probably dreaming, you know. And all of a sudden, with a healthy Cam Newton, with this, you know, with this coaching staff and the way the game is today for quarterbacks, you got to say to yourself, oh my gosh, Wendy, we got to, you know, and Cam can do it for 8-10 more years if he can stay healthy. Come on, you got to, like, I know there's a, I'm saying a lot. I'm very, you know, kind of looking out and projecting a lot, but you don't have to project Cam Newton if he's healthy. So I think it's a real problem for the AFC East if Cam Newton is, I'm going to quit saying it. Cam Newton's healthy.
There you go.
It's a real problem for the AFC East.
Yeah, that was probably a PG version of what those other three teams were saying last night when they saw this. nevertheless, Steve Young, thank you as always.
Talking about mobile quarterbacks, guys that are tough to handle, tackle, can throw, run, make good decisions, can beat in a lot of that. I mean, I would put Newton at the top of the list. See, he makes good decisions. He can run. He's strong. He's hard to tackle. He can do a lot of different things, beat in a lot of different ways. We saw that in the game down there in 13. I would put him at the top of the list. Not saying the other guys aren't a problem, because they are. But yeah, he's He'd be public enemy number one.
Well, he's not public enemy number one anymore. That was Bill Belichick talking about Cam Newton in 2017. Some high praise. Listen, Tim, you heard Steve Young say last night the Patriots were a snooze fest, or the AFC East was. Today it's a different look altogether. I mean, what, do you agree? What does this make the Patriots now?
Well, I think it makes them a legitimate contender, because I think they're now the favorite to win their division. And they're going to look drastically different. I think that's the other thing that can end up creating a problem. Just put it this way. Tom Brady has just over 1,000 rushing yards in his entire career. Cam Newton has surpassed Brady's career rushing numbers the first year and a half of his career. The guy's a runner. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. He's got 58 career rushing touchdowns. That is a huge number. And I think he's a better than advertised, you know, passer of the football and decision maker, which is also what Bill Belichick was talking about, you know, in that clip that you just played. You know, he's accounted for 240 touchdowns from 2011 to 2018. There's only three other players that have accounted for more, and it's Breeze, Rodgers, and Brady over that stretch. And during that same stretch, Cam Newton rushed for more rushing touchdowns than Marshawn Lynch. His production is undeniable, and I'm with Steve on this. Well, we probably need to stop saying if he's healthy. I think we all understand, you know, a non-healthy, you know, Cam Newton means we aren't going to see him, which is what's happened basically, you know, the last, you know, last season. But if Cam Newton is the Cam Newton we saw from 2011 to 2018, or some semblance of that, New England is going to be a tough out for everybody.
Yeah, and part of why this marriage is so unique right now is not just the skill set that Tim just laid out about Cam Newton, but also the Patriots' adaptability. And I think back to one of the only times the Patriots have had to adapt at quarterback for the past 20 years. Jacoby Brissett took over for Jimmy Garoppolo early in 2016. He had 4 days to prepare to become the starter when the Patriots hosted the Houston Texans, a game they would win 27-0, which included a 27-yard naked bootleg run by Jacoby Brissett that you're going to see on your screen of him running the ball into the end zone himself. It was the longest run by a Patriots quarterback for a touchdown in 40 years. The Patriots pulled out all sorts of tricks in 4 days. Imagine what they can do with Cam Newton and a full training camp, even if it's a little bit modified, enough time to get him ready to be a superstar again.
Thanks, Field. Greatly appreciate that. I'm at the Miami Dolphins. Kiko Alonso knocks out Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom Brady suspended. I'm like, wow, this is our window of opportunity. And what happens? Jacoby Brissett shuts out the Texans. So appreciate you bringing that back up. But I think the key word you mentioned is adaptability. And here's why. When you look at the New England Patriot running back room led by Sony Michel, James White, we don't even talk about Damian Harris and Rex Burkhead. It's the deepest running back room of all rooms in all of the game. And you could think about the pressure that they could put on opposing defenses with Cam Newton having the ability not only to throw, but he could run it with the depth at running backs. I think adaptability is a word we're going to be talking about all fall. This is going to be an offense that's going to be diverse and really hard to defend. So I agree with Tim. They go right to the top of the heap of the AFC East. I think they would have been there anyway with a really efficient defense. And this is going to be a very difficult offense for opposing teams to defend.
All right, Mike Tannenbaum, we like your take on that. All right, everything these days needs an explanation, and this is chief among them. This is this morning on Get Up, Mike Tannenbaum. I presume that's a smoothie. It's purple. I know that. And I'm also guessing, Mike, you did not know you were on camera. What's the deal here? What is that?
Okay, well, here's what happened. So, you know, we get up early for Get Up. We have our production meeting.
Yep.
Had a nice workout. And then on the Peloton. And here's a nice clean blender. And I have my pre-workout. I have my nice protein scoop. And, you know, being the great teammate at home. You know, tomorrow is my 19th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, Michelle. And I figure, you know, it'd be one less container to clean if I just drink right from the pitcher. So it's all about efficiency, being healthy, getting the workout in, and be ready to go on Get Up in the Morning.
Yeah, if that is GM spin if I've ever heard it. One less dish to watch, so let me just drink from the daggone pitcher. All right, listen, and then there's this.
Hey, if he doesn't post his workout video, it didn't happen. That's what we learned. If he doesn't post his workout video, that's rule number one.
If it's not on camera, it did not happen. Get a new jacket, dudes. We'll see you tomorrow.